This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour of Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Final hour of my week. Vegas right around the corner. Flight out in Alaska this afternoon. Peace. Have fun tomorrow with Danny breaking down the game, and I'll see you guys on Monday. This hour is brought to you by Tackle, T-A-K-L, tackle.com. And the open lines here, 206-421-3776. There's a lot going on. There's a lot for you guys to comment on.
Yeah, there is.
We got Pearl Jam home shows last night and tonight.
If you want to sing Yellow Ledbetter like I have during every break up and down the hallways, feel free.
I'm in a Vegas mood, so anybody who has a Vegas thought, we're all open to it. Certainly Seahawks in their first game tonight, Game Day Rawls, we've been talking about. Kyle, if Rawls has as many yards as Ezekiel Elliott this year, am I off the hook?
No.
I'm not off the hook, even if he does that?
Well, it's not going to happen regardless. This is just some strange fantasy land.
Yeah. Nice uniform game day. Game Day Rawls.
If Rawls has a good year in New York.
Who's he playing for?
The Jets.
Okay.
If Rawls has a good year with the Jets, does it, you know, and shows that he's, you know, somewhere, like, good, does it at least get me off the hook for the Ezekiel Elliott thing?
I mean, off the hook is a little strong.
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't.
You're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life.
But it's slight redemption. Like, you wouldn't have to live in shame.
Right, that's all I mean.
For the last year and a half.
Yes, I would like to just be able to get out of the shame that I've, the cone of shame.
And then the Mariners, remember those guys when they were competing for the American League West just a couple weeks ago when Houston was here? Paxton pitches a gem. You're three back at Houston.
Yep.
And Correa's out, Altuve's out, Springer's out, yep. Everyone's out. You're only three back at Houston 2 weeks ago. And now you're eight back, and it's Verlander and Paxton tonight.
You're only three back of Oakland now, yeah. So I guess that's true. That's
and Correa comes back this weekend.
Perfect. 206-421-3776. There is one line open as of right now. Brock, where is the top five caller board? It should be out for
You want me to get it?
Well, I think it's necessary. I've got to tell you, there's some names on this list that are on the top five caller board. I would certainly hope that that board could make an appearance, and we'll see whether or not some people are able to stay and if others are able to find their way into it. Let's start off this morning with Bob, who is in T-Town. Bob, good morning. What's on your mind? Open phone lines today.
Good morning to you. Hey, I'm taking a once-in-a-lifetime trip for me to Boston to specifically see Fenway Park, Red Sox, Yankees on the 29th. So cool. I was going to ask you for some words of wisdom. I was thinking, I'm a Mariner fan, but I'm sort of pod, I'm not a Yankee fan, but I was thinking about wearing a Yankee hat just to interact with the fans. And is that a good idea? Is that a bad idea? But I thought I could be wearing a Red Sox hat. I thought about, anyways, any words of wisdom about...
Yeah, I don't know if I do that.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Appreciate the phone call.
I mean, first of all, I wouldn't let a Yankee hat grace your head. I mean, that just feels filthy. Like, you'll probably get lice. Like, there's no upside to putting on a Yankees hat just to start with, so I don't think I would do that. I definitely wouldn't wear one to Fenway, would you?
No, I did that a few years back when the Mariners were there, and that's a sight to see, man. It is really cool.
Yeah, but you didn't do it wearing a Yankees hat.
No, Seats are small, though.
Very.
Man, small seats.
It's built in, 100 years ago.
That was not a good fit for me. No. So, Bob, I hope you're fit, ready to rock and roll, because those seats are a little bit small, but it is quite a venue, and they are the best team in baseball.
206-421-3776. Open lines on any subject. David's in Prairie. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man. Here's Prairie.
Seattle. I was at Seahawk practice on Monday and Tuesday, and I have 2 points I wanted to make.
Okay.
One, this season is going to be, we talked about the change in philosophy. We talked about the change in personnel. We talked about the change in coaches. But what I want to see this year, and I think it's the giant elephant in the room, is this team was 9-7 last year, could have been 11-5 with a couple of, different ways. But what I saw was that for a huge amount of time last year, this team played very sloppy, undisciplined, unfocused football. Just mass amount of just stupid, knucklehead penalties to the point where they led the league. False starts, offsides.
You want it cleaned
fouls.
Up. You want to see all that cleaned up. I'd be careful. Be careful tonight. Be careful in preseason game number one tonight.
I'm just saying during the season. I want to see it, though, but I think they say preseason, but that carries on to the regular season. You want to see it. You want to see a cleaner game. You don't want to see, you're going to get the hustle penalty. Mm-hmm. You know that. But it's just the stupid penalties that happen game after game.
I'm just hoping. Here's what I'm hoping. Let me tell. Here's my hope for the Seahawks this year. I hope they have an offensive coordinator who's able to get a play in quickly enough for them to call it in the huddle and then get to the line of scrimmage and run it without Russell having to call timeout every time. I just hope that their new offensive coordinator has enough of a command of his playbook that he's able to call plays in a reasonable amount of time.
Awesome.
Is that too much to ask?
No. Yeah, do you know where Prairie is now?
What
I'm saying is that they had the talent, especially the keepers, to make up for it.
You're right. They did have the talent. That went away last year. And because they've been sloppy for a long time. It was not new that they were sloppy.
Oh, no. They led the league when they won the title.
Right. I mean, they've been sloppy. Just last year, they didn't do all the other things to make up for it. If you aren't going to be as talented, and by all accounts, they're not going to be as talented this year, or at least there's a good chance of it, can you find other ways to even the playing field? And one of them would be not being so darn sloppy, right?
Yep.
Not having to take, not being, what do they call it, off schedule, behind schedule? Don't be behind schedule when you're in 2nd and 15.
True.
1st and 15, 2nd and 12, 3rd and 7. Now you got to pass. Like, just don't be behind schedule all the time.
How many helmet-to-helmet penalties tonight?
For the Seahawks? None.
For the game?
Two.
You think it'll be two? You think he's going to have two?
Yes.
Two helmet.
And none for the Seahawks.
None for the Seahawks.
None. Pete says it's not a concern.
Okay.
They've been practicing this, and they know what to do. It is not a concern.
The two most burdened positions, DBs and running backs.
Yes.
You want these running backs to break tackles? What do they have to do? They have to get their pads down. I've yet to see anatomically where you can get your pads down and leave your head up. I have not seen that
yet. They can do it.
Go Gadget.
They know how to do it.
I don't think so.
They absolutely do. They'll be just fine. 206-421-3776. Brady is in Puyallup. Good morning, Brady.
Hi, good morning. So I just wanted to talk about Kyle Seager. I've been going back and forth about how I feel. I know he's helped out a ton this year defensively, and I don't know if it's just because of the newborn. And his average, I've been waiting it for his hot streak to happen, and seems like it's not. I know he's been hitting a few home runs here and there in the past few games, but I'm just indecisive about him, and I wanted your guys' opinion.
Well, what do you think? I mean, I think Brock and I are both pretty opinionated on Kyle Seager. Let me play you something first, and then tell me what you think. This was yesterday. Did you get to watch or listen to the game yesterday?
I listened.
All right, so you listened to the
game.
Nobody
saw the game.
Nobody
saw
it. It was on Facebook. Stupid face.
So you may have even heard this. This is in the seventh inning. There's a runner on second base. And two outs.
And nobody on first.
No one on first. Just a runner on second, two outs, and you saw this.
Swinging a ground ball top to Seager. Takes a knee-high third base. He steps on the bag there. And he does not throw the ball. Seager, he thought there were runners at first and second. That's the only thing I can think of. Seager came into his right backhand of that ball. And stepped on third base and looked up. He said, oh, my goodness, there was only a runner on at second. He thought the force play was on, and it wasn't.
They just made Rick Riz depressed. Rick,
I mean,
he made Rick Riz depressed. That's impossible to do.
And I get that. And like I said, I don't know if it's the newborn and he's not getting enough sleep or.
Bro, he's on the Brady.
He's on the road. He's away from the newborn.
He's not in P Town at the old Bronx Motel there with the newborn. No, he is on the road sleeping in a nice plush bed, getting the best sleep of his life.
Look, he's made two errors the night before, a couple errors the day before that. There was a ball he should have gotten to in the game before that. And yesterday, he makes a brutal miscalculation on the number of runners on base.
That's impossible.
What is going on? You're a leader on this team. You make over $20 million a year.
Lydia, what's going on? Lydia, what is going on with
Defend
Kyle?
Defend him.
Please,
Lydia, we need answers.
Please, Lydia,
I think sometimes you focus so much on one element of your game, which for so long people are like, "What his bat? What, he needs to hit better. He needs to do this." So then he focused entirely on that, and now something else has gone by the wayside, and you overcorrect, I think. You focus too much. You worry about it. You get in your own head, and baseball is such a sport of not doing that.
You might very well be right.
Overthinker.
But tough.
Sure, absolutely. I'm with Rick Riz. I'm a very positive person, but I watched that play and I was like,
I think you're absolutely right. That's probably what's happened to Kyle Seager. But geez, man, get it together. You are one of the highest paid players on this team, and they need you desperately to not only be average, but they need you to be good. And right now, you're below that.
So, personal question.
That's brutal.
Personal
man.
Question.
That's such a bad play.
You can answer this honestly about me. I'm asking you. I want accountability on this. I'm putting it out there. Am I a bitter person? Be honest. Where does my bitterness come out? Like this morning, when does my bitterness come out in my life?
I don't think you're too bitter.
I don't think I'm too bitter, but there's one area in my life that I have.
Oh, well, you're very bitter about the fact that you're not still playing football.
There are these slappies
out there
still playing for a decade long that can't play, that couldn't throw it anywhere as good as me, but because I couldn't get out of my own stupid head, I was done in the league.
Yes.
I was such an overthinker and a worrier and an overcorrector and overanalyticaler and everything. I was a mess. And because of it, I have bitterness that Drew Stanton has drawn a paycheck in this league for like 10 or two. Charlie Whitehurst played for like 18 years in this league. Couldn't throw it, couldn't hold a candle the way I threw a football. But because I was just so messed up from the neck up, I was done. So that's where my bitterness comes out. And that's probably where some of my frustration, honestly, with Kyle comes. Like, just let it go.
Yep.
But he can't.
No.
He can't. And because of it, you know, the trend line the last 4 years since he's gotten paid has done what? It's gone down, and this year is hitting a bottom point, hitting 228.
You think he's putting too much pressure on himself?
I think there's a lot of pressure that comes with making. I'll disagree with Mr. Gurley down in L.A. who says anybody that tells you making more money isn't great. Like, no, I think there's sometimes, Mr. Gurley, well, you'll see the other side of it where there's huge expectations, right. Much more pressure. You carry some of that.
Cool.
I never even experienced that element.
You know what these are?
I wouldn't have survived.
I'm sorry, man. These are excuses. You're supposed to be a good ball player. Go out and hit the ball, catch the ball, know the number of, I'm sorry, making $20 million. I can't remember how many runners are on base. Come on,
that's
dude.
What we call a moobar.
Come on, dude.
Remember,
Jerry messed up beyond all recognition.
Come on, it claims that he thought himself out of the league as well. He was overly analytical. Yeah, he was the only player at the time that belonged to Sabre and was overthinking everything he did.
Hold on a second. Can we just go back to what Brock said a moment ago?
A moobar.
Yeah.
Can we just all go back to what Brock said a moment ago?
I cleaned that one up.
That is definitely not what we call it.
2 minutes before that, you said analyticalers or something.
Well,
so I just let
purpose.
That one slide.
Well, that was on purpose.
Let's back up a
moment.
And
so was this one. I wanted to clean it up for the kids.
We all call it a moobar.
Yes.
No, we do not.
Yes, we
let
do.
Me just be very clear and direct with you, sir.
Messed up beyond all recognition.
That is not what we call it. Not even close.
What do you call it?
206-421-3776. I call it rebar.
Oh.
Isn't that what it is?
No.
No. Rogers in T-Town. What's up, Roger?
Dude.
You almost fell off the top five board yesterday.
Dude. Raj.
What up, man? Hey, listen, I big ups.
Hey,
I just
man.
Wanted to thank you guys for having me on the show. It was an incredible opportunity. I wish I could have done a little bit better. I think I might have got thrown off by the speed of the game.
Yeah.
Hunkered down with you guys in the booth. But, you know, I think I found it at the end.
You
and,
did.
You know, I'll just take it as a learning experience.
Keep telling yourself that.
Roger, you are great. Don't listen to Salk. Don't let him get in your head.
No, you should keep telling yourself that. I want you to keep the confidence up.
Absolutely. So, but the one thing I did want to just tell to all my fellow callers and listeners is just how effortless you guys bring the program to us. And I can tell you firsthand, it takes a lot of effort and a ton of skill. And it's not just Mike and it's not just Brock, but it's Kyle, it's Lydia, it's Howdy. As someone who's been behind the curtain a couple of times, I can just tell everyone it is a first-class production.
Oh,
really
awesome.
Good job,
that's
you guys,
really nice,
do bringing
Raj.
The show to us.
That's
thanks,
great.
Raj.
Except Howdy really has nothing to do with it. I appreciate everything you said, but don't include Howdy in that mix. He has almost nothing to do with the success of this show.
I will be watching the offensive line tonight. I will be watching them with a fine-tooth comb. I just want to see if we can push or we're going to get pushed. It's supposed to simplify the blocking.
Yep.
It's supposed to be less zone schemes. There shouldn't be free runners.
Yep.
I'm looking at these guys. It's man to man. Can we push their guys off? Or are we getting pushed off? The running backs are going to also be fun to watch, but that's secondary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the entire team, in my opinion, starts with the offensive and defensive line. And if we can't push, then I'm going to be pissed.
Well, that's why you're in the top five, Roger. Right there, just like that, bringing the heat. I will say this
top
to you.
Top five.
Yep, sitting right there, number five. I will say this to you, Roger. Like, if I could have one camera tonight, and we don't have it on preseason football games, but if I had one, and you're going to see it in college football this year for the first time ever, you're going to see it. They tested it last year. You're going to see what's called a camera right on the top of the first down marker cam, which goes right down the line of scrimmage. I've clamored for this for years. I've wanted to put it on the official over there, just put a go cam, but we can never do it with a go cam and technology and everything else. To your point, Roger, if you have a camera right down that line, let's see who wins the game of tug of war.
Mm.
Because in 2011, 2012, 2013, it was decidedly one way. You owned that game of tug of war, and I hope you can see steps with that tonight. Pete feels very confident. KJ Wright and Bobby feel very confident. one of the nuggets that KJ said in our meeting yesterday was, hey, man, this front doesn't get reached. Like, this group up front, these four D linemen, I play in my position, I've not gotten touched. Like, they are doing, like, Tom Johnson and you know, some of the Stefan, Jaron, those are doing their job.
They don't have fancy names, but they're big boys who can at least hold the line of scrimmage.
So
can the offensive side do it, though? Can this revamped offensive line push the other side forward or push them back? I guess we'll find out. 206-421-3776. Open lines on any subject today. A little odd for Thursday. But Joe is in Roslyn. Joe, what's on your mind?
Well, hey, good morning, fellas. I just wanted to say I find it very, you know, it's unfortunate to see Ali Cajo go.
Yeah, let me just remind people if they don't know the story. Ali Cajo is the five-star linebacker who was committed to UW. They let him out of his national letter of intent because he said that he had some major problems at home. There had been some deaths in the family. His family was getting divorced, and his parents were getting divorced. And so they allowed him to leave, and everyone said, okay, great. Hey, that's the right thing to do. It's in the best interest of the kid. Less than a week later, he signs at Alabama, which just makes it feel filthy.
Yes, I agree. That's very unfortunate. See him go to a place as in Alabama. not very happy about them. But the fact of the matter is, you know, okay, if he's having family issues, that's one thing, and that's really big on UW to, you know, release him and let him go like that on good terms. But, you know, if that's his decision, that's fine. But I guess I find it unfortunate if he's using the family excuse as
right.
in, you
do know, you? Let me ask you this. In your heart, do you believe that his family, that the excuse was real, or do you believe that he was using it as a reason to get out?
You know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that it was, you know, family, but I feel as if now, I don't know.
Well, it's a lot easier to get from Reno to Seattle than it is Reno to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. If he needed to be near family and wanted to be close to
him. I'm sorry. And I'm not, I don't know for sure, but it's hard for me in my heart of hearts to believe emotionally that this wasn't planned.
And Joe, I was looking for you Sunday. I was at the market. Were you there?
No, negative. I was camping up.
Yeah, whatever. I was walking around the berries, the flowers, the farmer's market there in Roslyn. Like, well, Joe, anybody, Joe. Nope.
Don't you have a sign up?
Didn't see you there, buddy.
Yeah, like the ones you get at the airport for the limo drivers. Joe and Roslyn.
Now, here's the thing.
Appreciate the call, Joe.
Here's the thing. I thought this was the direction he was going to go. Knowing what you know now, should Peterson have not let him out? And that answer is no, you let him out.
No, let him out anyway.
There is no good that comes from it.
But it's filthy. Why did the kid need to go through all that? Just say, I don't want to play here.
Yep.
I want to be at Alabama. I just don't want to be here. I'm unhappy and I want to go to Alabama.
Yep.
I guess at that point he would have had to transfer or something like that. But like, just let him out. Like, I think Chris Peterson would have. And now you ruin it for the next kid who actually has a problem. You've ruined it for the next kid who actually has a family issue and can't be there. I just think it's real dirty.
And this kid also takes a scholarship spot from somebody else UW would have offered.
That's true.
Yeah.
So they would have offered somebody else who would have committed. They wouldn't have been the same class of player.
That's
true. They would have had a full ride and they would have been at that school and they'd have been committed and been happy.
Yeah, everything about it is just sort of rotten. 206-421-3776.
See, you added the show. You know, that's a brilliant point.
Thank you.
I think you really added this
show. Nice of you to say. Not true, but nice of you to say. Jerry is in Redmond. Jerry, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, I think you might have wanted some ideas about something to do in Vegas.
Oh, well, any calls on Vegas, or I don't need ideas, but sure, anything you want to say about Vegas.
Oh, you think you just know everything about it.
I'm up for an idea. What do you got?
Well, you may have been there, but it's pretty new. The Mob Museum.
Oh.
It's a former federal courthouse, and it's put together by the former governor, I believe, of the state. Might have been a mayor. But anyway, it's an excellent museum devoted to all the problems and
the mobsters.
The family and everything associated with the mob.
Can you play blackjack there?
It's not a casino.
Oh, that's a problem. I got to say, that's a strike against it, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay, but let me tell you two really cool things about it, besides the speakeasy where they distill their own liquor.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It also has two optional items you can do in addition to just touring a museum. One's called Use of Force, where you're trained briefly, like a policeman, a police person is, to know when you should use your gun or not.
Whoa.
That sounds kind of cool.
And that was very informative and was taught to us by a former LAPD cop.
Right, that sounds kind of awesome. You kind of, I got to say, you kind of brought that around at the end.
Jerry, do you think a bunch of a bunch of Pomona grads in their bro tanks would be allowed in the museum?
Just stop.
That's I don't know.
I don't know. All right, Jerry, thank you for the phone call. I'll look that up. I'll suggest it to the group and then be ridiculed for the next few hours.
But what's it called? Bedazzle?
We're doing it upright, boys. I mean, bro takes to the extreme. You got to show the muscles to have the muscles, if you know what I'm saying. International bro tanks. It's not just in the U.S.
GTL, man. That's Pomona.
But
GTL.
But Salt's always trying to decide when or when not to use his gun. So this type of training could be really beneficial.
Be really helpful for the golf club I keep in my bed, you know, near my bed just in case.
True or false, Brady gave you a couple of his bro tanks, too.
Huh? Brady will go bro tank. He is unafraid to go bro tank. But he can pull off a bro tank. I can't wear a bro tank. I'd look like a bear. You kidding me? Hey, why is that bear wearing a bro tank? Ridiculous. All right, 206-421-3776. Let's take a real quick break. We got a lot more of your calls here to come. Open phone lines. I got Bo and Jermichael and Adam. A lot of old friends here on the line. We'll grab your calls next here on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Oh, I'm going to be in beautiful Las Vegas later today. Can't wait. We got some answer to the questions here coming up in 15 minutes. This hour is brought to you by Tackle. We got open phone lines at the moment. 206-421-3776. Let me give you one last reminder on how it's going to work tonight. Mariners game on 770 KTTH, our sister station here. They'll be on at 770 starting at 5 o'clock. Pregame show at 4. Seahawks pregame starts at 5 here on 710 and continues throughout the night on 710 ESPN Seattle. Mm-hmm. So if you are confused and trying to figure out where to find the game, there you go. That's where it is. Okay?
You play Blackjack alone, is that the only card game you'll play over the next four
the
days?
Only card game, yes. I may play craps, but generally, and that's a very iffy.
Yeah.
Almost exclusively Blackjack.
Cool.
Yeah. God, I love Blackjack.
Yeah, you do.
I really do.
Two more segments. Here
we go.
Dial in. I love
that feeling when you
first sit
down at the table.
Oh, I know.
And you start shivering because it's cold. Your body kind of like gets in a like defense mode and you're nervous. It is the best, man. There's nothing in the world like it. Salk, does your bro crew drink a lot of apple green Smirnoff? No, as a matter of fact, we don't. But thanks for asking. 206-421-3776.
And I'm doing squats.
Where did you find this garbage?
I just searched like broing out on YouTube.
And you came up with my buddies.
I came up with you and your college buddies.
That's awesome.
All Joel and Nate and whole cool.
That is enough. Adam's in Seattle. 206-421-3776. Open lines. Anything's on your mind. Anything you want to say. Anything you got to get out. Adam, what's up?
Good morning. I want to talk about Pete Carroll.
Okay.
And to be clear, in no way I think Pete is on the hot seat, but the moves that Pete and the Seahawks have done this offseason and the draft and tell me that they're trying to get that running mentality back, with drafting Penny in the first round, signing a run-blocking tight end and Dixon, it's like a Zach Miller 2.0, and giving a well-deserved extension to Dwayne Brown, our best offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is gonna be a big year for Pete, you know, to bring back that mentality we had in 12 and 13, like we had with Marshawn, and to find that new core of guys, whether it's, you know, Tedrick Thompson or T2, or yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good phone call. It's interesting, Adam. I was in the room yesterday, and you know how Pete gets with me sometimes when I go a little deep, like football wise, and he kind of gives me that look, like, really? You really want it? Are we really doing this? You know, but I kind of asked him, I said, are you even, you've known and seen every scheme imaginable in football in 5 decades. Like, is the infusion of the new staff, is there anything, you know, new to learn? He kind of dismissed it at first. Like, all right, actually, it's been pretty invigorating. Just the creativity that a Schottenheimer, who's also been in it for decades, has a tool that he's never had. He's never had a Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Right through all of his years, and Mark Sanchez, it's been well documented. He's never had a guy that you can literally say, hey, can you do this? Yep. Can you do that? Yep. Can you do that? Yep. It doesn't matter the scheme, zone read, drop back passing, under center, play action. Like there's really not a scheme. And to hear Pete kind of wind through that of the creative liberty and freedom they had for those months that we talked about them hibernating, been a pretty cool deal.
Ed Dixon going to play tonight? Has he been playing?
Ed Dixon is more than likely not going to play tonight.
Kind of looking
that
forward
would
to
be
seeing
my hunch.
Too. Yeah. Some text messages here, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Why are you guys throwing the Mariners under the bus on the sister station? Let me just explain that, because we hear that a lot. There is no choice in the matter. It has nothing to do with popularity. It's nothing to do with choice. It has only to do with amount of time that they have been on the station. And the Seahawks have been on the station since their inception. They've been on 710 since the very first Seahawks
K-I-R-O-M,
game. That's
Seattle,
right.
Since 76.
The Mariners used to get priority when there was a conflict. Then the Mariners left and came back. When they came back, they had lost the inside track, so to speak. So it's not a choice. This is just about longevity. It has nothing to do with anything else. There is no prioritization.
There's no decision to be
made
whatsoever.
There's no decision.
This is just how it is.
It's just how it is.
They didn't go to the Mob Museum and see how to handle
it. A lot
of
people texting in saying the Mob Museum is actually pretty cool, but it's in downtown Vegas, and I've sworn to never go back, so we'll see. 206-421-3776. Jermichael is in Federal Way. Hi, Jermichael.
Jermichael, that's two tough calls in a row.
Last time he got himself kicked off for some negative comments that he had to call back and apologize for.
Hello.
And this time he's got phone issues.
Hello.
Jermichael, you get your phone working?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. What's up?
Bring it.
Nah, that's too bad. Sorry, Jermichael. Give us a call back. We'll try it another time. Let's try old buddy Bo, you formerly from L.A., now in Baton Rouge. What's up, Bo?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
He's still in L.A. He's just in the other L.A., down south.
That's right. I know. And, hey, speaking of a new season, the Seahawks are in one, too. I got a couple questions. One, Brock, do you think the Hawks can be a top-five rushing team? And then second question is, what's up with Colin Cowherd and these people just slamming the O-line? There is no way this is one of the worst lines in the NFL anymore. I mean, I just can't believe it. So speak to that.
Well, didn't we say last year it couldn't get worse?
Yes.
Yeah,
and then it did. They were terrible.
No. But listen, Dwayne Brown, all year he's been in the program. He's been re-signed. Posick, everything about him is trending up. He's bigger. He's solidified on the left.
Bo.
Ritz there. Come on.
Bo, I agree with you that they're going to be better than they've been. But don't tell me there's no chance in the world that they're not.
I didn't say that there's no chance that they won't. I said there's no chance they're the worst line in the league, and I would never say that they're going to be garbage.
Thank you.
They might be. Bo.
Did you just snort, by the way?
I did. Yeah, I got that excited. Bo got me all ramped up. I went Peppa Pig on you. I don't mind, man.
That is a Vegas exclusive right there. There's only one way you elicit a snort from Mike.
Yes, for sure. They will not be the worst O-line in the league. Dwayne Brown.
I don't think they will either.
No, they will not. Dwayne Brown is legit. I said earlier in the week, he's the best lineman the Pete's had here.
Until you see it, I don't want to comment, man. Like, I agree. I think they're probably going to be better than they were, and I don't think they'll be that bad. But until I see it, until we get a vision of it, like, you know what? I don't want to go out on a limb with this. Like, they've got to prove it,
top
I think.
Top five rush team?
It.
Can they be a top five rushing
team? They have to be, Brock. They have to be. Top five. They have to be.
Do they have the capability? Yes. Do I need to see this in the preseason, a little bit of action, Bo, definitively to give you that prediction? I would say top 10. There's no reason with their quarterback they should not and cannot be a top 10 rushing offense. And you say quarterback? Yes, quarterback, because of his threat in the run game.
You mean the quarterback who's been holding them back the last few years?
Who was their leading rusher last year?
If only Russell had been a better quarterback, they'd have been better the last few years. Thanks, Doug. Let's grab Stan who's in Spokane. What's up, Stan?
Oh, the redheaded stepchild that was in rotation. I love it. Dig it. Hey, I was going to the store and I caught the tail end of that story about he signed letter of intent.
Ollie Cahoe.
Okay, so my and what you guys I don't think you covered really is what is Alabama's role? I mean, we got the Urban Meyer thing, and now Alabama's got their fingers in the cookie jar.
Well, hold on one second.
Okay.
Let's not in any way confuse what Urban Meyer is being accused of and what we're talking about here with Alabama.
Okay,
let's just be clear.
Okay.
One is about the game of football and what the competition
the game
between
of
teams.
Recruiting.
The other is about life and having a sense of morality in the way you choose to live your life and victims of domestic abuse. They cannot be in any way conflated.
Okay, so you're saying Alabama had no collusion, no wishy-washy?
I will give you as much time as you need to find where I said that.
Yeah.
I did not say that. I said if they did it, it is in no way a sin comparable to Urban Meyer.
Okay, well, no, I totally agree with that. I was just saying.
But are they complicit? Are they a little dirty?
Probably. It's SEC football. All right, thanks for the phone call, man. Yeah. It's SEC football. Yes, of course they're probably dirty.
Was it Washington or Alabama down at the wire? Yes, it was. Were the relationships built? Yes, there are. Does the SEC recruit differently than everybody else in the country, much to the ire of just about every other coach and every other power conference?
Yes, they do. The question is this. Which happened here? Did the kid decommit because he really wanted to leave, and the moment he left, the guys from Alabama got on the phone and said, oh, maybe we got an opportunity to actually get this kid after all? Or were they talking to him and convincing him to do this before he decided to leave?
Yeah, more likely his parents and talking with his parents, who they already know wanted him there. The kid wanted to be at UW.
Nick Saban
did that behind the scenes.
Correct. I would totally agree with that. Again, a brilliant point, which is why you're so valuable to this show. Roger knows it. I know it. Everybody else but Mike knows it. They were not foolish enough to go text this kid on his personal phone and have text messages or contact or calls or anything. Did they work through family and friends? Absolutely. The minute he has left, do they reach out? Assuredly they do. But I don't think that they are that corrupt and that dirty that they're going to burn or try to, you know,
they're pretty
have the capability to burn a bridge like that.
They're pretty corrupt and pretty dirty. I know you can't say it because you've got to go down there and do a game. I'll say it for you. They're pretty corrupt and pretty dirty, but let's not in any way compare that type of thing. That is about football and trying to win games and back and forth. Fine. It's dirty, but it is what it is. The other thing is in a completely different scale.
So when you're broing out, by the way, do you guys snort like that? Do you guys kind of laugh? Like
you're not good at that. You're not a good snorter.
You're all giddy, like we're getting together at the airport and we're meeting.
They call them the Pig Brothers.
Yeah, that's us. Pig Bros. Wearing a bro tank and snorting it up.
Bros, we need that shirt nice and ironed out. Give it a couple snaps. Snap. Snap.
I'll tell you what, when you talk about the bros snorting in Vegas.
For preparation to the bro hood.
The bros snorting in Vegas. Generally, it means something other than what you're talking
about. Is
that
a video, by the way, of them snapping? Oh, we get
to see an instructional video of how to make a bro tank. It's the most amazing thing ever.
All right,
I'm gonna forward it to Brady.
We got to answer some questions. 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. Let's do a little answer the question jerk to finish off the show next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk's Answer the Question Jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
I'm never going to forgive you guys for this bro thing. This is problematic. This is not cool. Lydia, I mostly blame you. I'm not owning it. It's not
maybe Miami Beach, like South Florida Beach. Like, I feel like that'd be a great spot for next year.
Boca Raton.
Wow.
Thank you for pronouncing it correctly, Alex. That's important. This is the single best question we've received.
Ever?
No, or but today? In a while. It's so right on, and it just makes me so sad. With Maki of Japan closed for the remodel at the SeaTac Airport, what pre-flight meal will Salk be enjoying before taking off for Vegas? I'm lost without Maki of Japan there.
Yep.
Wassel, too. We've been talking about it. That's what you eat.
So you don't
go
down the other Chinese on the A terminal,
no.
A hallway?
No.
I do that.
It's such a hike down there.
It is. Kung Pao's pretty good.
I love Maki of Japan. Yep. It's my favorite thing to eat at the airport.
Bourbon chicken?
Yeah, or the orange chicken, little combo. And it's just, that's my thing.
Yep.
With it not being there, the airport's not the same. I don't know what to get. I've done the Beecher's, little Beecher's sandwich. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
That's
good. I mean, like, no knock against it.
Beecher's mac and cheese is real good, too.
Just not Maki,
I want Maki.
Yep.
Want Maki of Japan. Please come back, Maki. We miss you. Jerks, it's awesome that Wyman will be on the call with Rabel this year. It is awesome, don't you think?
Cool.
That came out yesterday. Dave Wyman will be the color analyst in the booth with Steve Rabel on 710 this year. Pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah, Dave was saying that they had a flight years ago when they were teammates together, I think from Houston or somewhere, and they talked the whole flight.
Him and Rabel?
Yeah. Oh. Him and Rabel.
Wait, him and Rabel were teammates?
I believe so. Or Rabel was on the plane. Maybe he was done playing, but it was the color analyst back then.
Next question.
Jerks,
it'll be fun.
Which was more overhyped? Andrew Luck coming out of college or Salk's camping trip? I mean, was my camping trip overhyped, Howdy?
I think they're pretty close. Both of those two, pretty close.
I feel like it lived up to expectations. Yeah. If it had been such a downfall, then if it had been awful and you had turned around and come home because your friend didn't book the campsite on the first day, then that would have been a problem.
He didn't. He didn't book the campsite on the first day.
But you had to actually
lucked
turn
out
around.
In getting one. Yeah, I think it worked out just fine.
If it was as scary and as bad as you thought it was going to be, then maybe that's the situation.
Right. So, had you tripped and fallen and broken your wrist or something like that?
Yeah, that would have been great.
And been out for this trip? Right, had a significant trip, or maybe you dislocated your shoulder and you couldn't wear your bro tank because you had the big shoulder harness.
Don't even talk.
Then you'd have an Andrew Luck
problem.
Don't
even talk.
No broken bones are going to stop Salk from going to Vegas. Come on.
Vegas.
DA can't hold him back.
Jerks, who do you trust most in the bullpen right now? Duke, Hernandez, or Warren?
Ouch.
We'll wait for an answer.
Zepchinski still available?
He's in AAA with the Mariners. He's back. He's with the Rainiers.
Yep.
We can go back to Mark Zepchinski. He can't be worse than Duke's been.
Duke is a disaster.
Andrew Luck's throwing the Duke again. Maybe he could throw the Duke right out of Seattle.
Just sling that Duke.
So Wassel had a question. You know, yesterday we awarded the most entertaining segment on our station.
Yes.
Right? And their Freshwater was a runaway winner. Our role-playing with Clayton didn't make it in. I guess that was before the competition
before the
started
competition,
or something
yeah.
like that. The question was, how long would it have Clayton gone if you had not stopped it? Like, you were a hero in that. Like, see, that's part of that segment that just doesn't get appreciated is you.
Yes. How you and Rod get, getting along. A role play group? What would
John, we're going to let you go. John, you got to go. Go get some water. That's enough. I would say he had two more attempts left, and then he would have quit.
He'd have passed out.
One or the other. But I think he had the attempt he was on plus two more, and then that would have been it.
I think we could have heard the phone go down like he just passed out. I'm not saying die, but he would have, like,
the
oxygen level would have just shut down.
Could have been.
But you saved him.
Could have been. Yeah, I was there to help.
You were a hero.
Salk's camping trip is appropriately hyped. In fact, I felt cheated because we didn't get camping takeaways on the following Monday. I could have done a full takeaway segment of camping.
Yeah.
Next question.
Jerks. What did you all get Lydia for her birthday? Lydia, what'd you get for your birthday?
I got a great new book that I'm about 50 pages in so far.
Wow.
It's a collection of Red Smith articles. And he's just an incredible sports writer.
He's the guy who used to... Oh, that's Red... He's the guy who used to talk on NPR in the morning all the time. Is that Red Smith? Or is that Red Barber? It's Red something.
There's plenty of Reds back there in the day.
Red Barber used to be the voice of the Dodgers before Vin Scully.
Red Fairley?
Of course, you got Red Green. He's funny.
That's confusing. Nice Christmas guy.
He's a lot of duct tape. That's Red Green's thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He would use duct tape for everything.
Okay.
Red Smith was really good friends with Grantland Rice, and he refers to him as Granny, which I really just find great amusement in.
You're an old soul, aren't you?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
No bro tanks for you.
No.
No bro tanks for Red Smith. Let's see.
Lydia, I could see you dating some fellow that likes to smoke a pipe.
No, that smell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The smell of pipe is nice, don't you think?
That's why you're going to Vegas, my friend.
Vegas doesn't smell like a pipe. Vegas has its own unique smell, but it's not like a pipe. Like a pipe smell is sort of rich and vanilla.
Right,
like it's
right.
A nice smell.
Yeah.
Next question.
What would the four of us chuckle the most at, in seriousness, with your group? If the four of us could just clown around like the Hangover and just watch your group, what would we laugh the most about? Like a period of discovery, like Pete's going to have with his young players tonight. If we could discover you and your
bros. I think the thing
you
would laugh
bros.
Most at is how long Wooda can sleep. We will get there to Vegas tonight. We'll stay up for whatever time. Wooda will go to... Let's say... We're going to try to go to bed early because we're playing golf in the morning. Let's say Wooda goes to bed at 2. We are waking up to play golf at 8:30. When we get back, there is zero chance by 4 o'clock Wooda is
That's
awake.
He can sleep 14 hours.
14?
That's amazing.
20. There's no doubt in my mind the thing you will laugh most at is how long Wooda can sleep. Guy's amazing.
Why do I picture Wooda looking like a Chewbacca?
Yeah, what is, a little bit. That's not far off.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a good
picture
time.
like the disheveled afro guy from Workaholics, kind of.
Mm. That's kind of right, too. Yeah, you guys kind of have combine those two things. You
got it. Yeah, I would have.
And then put them in bed asleep for hours, maybe a day.
So you DVR, and you're going to watch the game later tonight?
Yep, I'll watch the game. Not later tonight, but Sunday when I get home. I'll look forward to doing that and chatting with you guys about it on Monday. Danny O'Neill will be in, so we'll have our football experts chatting all about the game tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Enjoy it tonight. We'll catch you guys. Well, you'll catch them tomorrow. Till then, hey.
He's in the bro barn.
See you, everybody.
A role play group?
That's fresh water.
What's the one word that I hear every day at the end of practice where it sounds like the guy's saying, D.A. can't hold me back?
Pretty sure it's fresh water.
But in that sense, the Mississippi River is the ocean. I thought he was talking about the district attorney.
These penguins.
D.A. can't hold me back.
If you want a bro tank, you gotta be doing it right. Get those creases out. Use those hands, son.
Get to the chopper!